morning, everyone. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be exceedingly glad in it. I'm Anthony Moore, and I serve as a senior pastor of Carolina Church, located in Fort Washington, Maryland. You, my brothers and sisters, happen to be on the prayer line of Carolina Church. Thank you so very much for your presence on this morning and for determining and deciding that you wanted to operate in the discipline of prayer and rise early this morning that we might be able to communicate with God. I want to continue talking to you all, for those of you who've been with me as we started this process. I want to continue talking about trusting in the promises of God. Trusting in the promises of God. There are so many of us who are not necessarily knowledgeable about that which God makes promises unto, or those whom God makes promises unto, but also not knowing what the promises are or understanding the context. And many of us are skewed by promises because we, in fact, have had promises made unto us, and those promises have not necessarily been carried through, and therefore our understanding, our perception, our concept of promise or promises has become skewed. I want to talk to you all about the promises of God so that I can arm you with not only the knowledge of God's word, but also his promises, that you might be able to rightly claim that which the Lord has said belongs to you. So we're going to be looking at trusting in the promises of God. I want to say to you on the outset, on the front end of this particular discussion on today, before we get into the prayer, I want to tell you that the promises of God are all about God and not us. That's a point I want to make to you all, that the promises of God are all about God and not us. The first thing I want to point out is that the promises of God are all about God and not us. In Psalm 145, verse 13, it says, "The Lord is trustworthy in all his promises and faithful in all he does." As we grow to understand who God is, we will understand his character, his goodness, and his power. Trusting in the promises of God starts with trusting God for who he says he is. I want to give that to you again. Trusting in the promises of God starts with trusting God for who he says he is. And as we begin to trust him in his character and his attributes, we see his incredible power translating into his actions. And it is then that we can praise him for who he is and trust in the promises he gives unto us. Here it is again, Psalm 145, verse 13. "The Lord is trustworthy in all his promises and faithful in all he does." And as we trust God for being a faithful, good, powerful God, then you and I can lean on him to do what he says he's going to do. The promises of God are trustworthy because they are founded upon the character and power of Almighty God. Now, let me segue. This is my second point I want to make today. So, Pastor, how do we know which promises applies to us as believers in Christ? How do we know which promises apply to us as believers in Christ Jesus? It's very easy to take a verse out of context to apply to our lives, or to apply something written for others in a different context to ourselves, when really it doesn't apply to us at all. And we must humbly come before God's word, study it to understand what it is saying, and then think about if it applies to our lives. And this is a big topic to answer here. But allow me to give you a few principles that I think that I use and that I want to encourage you to use to discern which promises in scriptures apply to you, apply to us. So let me give you these four bullet points I want you to hold on to as we are trying to appropriate the promises that we see in God's word. Number one, you've got to make sure you are correctly interpreting the scripture. I'm not suggesting that you be a Bible scholar, but we do have to look at the historical background. Who was it written to? What is the context in which it was written? What is happening in the passage surrounding it? So the first bullet that I want to share with you about interpreting whether the promises is for you or not is make sure you are correctly interpreting the passage. Here's the second bullet point. Search for biblical principles from the passage. In other words, what do we learn about God from the passage? Are there general, moral, spiritual, or doctrinal principles that are clear in the passage? What do other passages in the Bible say about this similar topic? Here's the third bullet. Apply it to your life after looking at these things. Apply it to your life after looking at them. In other words, after considering the background, the original context, and the meaning of the passage, then look at how it may apply to your life. This takes you all prayer as we ask God for discernment and understanding. Okay, so those are just some of the bullet points and that I believe that we ought to utilize as we are trying to appropriate whether or not the promises of God or that particular promise is applicable to us. Now, I want to spend the bulk of the rest of my time before going into prayer. I want to start talking about some areas of promises of God. What are some of the promises of God, Pastor? What are some of the promises of God? And I want to give you 30 or so promises of God that you can begin to start meditating on. There are so many promises that God gives us in his word. And we'll be here all day, all day, just trying to uncover all of them. But I want to give you some of the promises that surrounds different topics just to get us started. I'm hoping that this will ignite something in you, that you'll be able to comb through God's word, have a thirst and a hunger to comb through his word, that you may find every promise that is attached to you and your family, every promise attached to you and yours, because you want to claim that which is applicable to you. Let me give you this promise. Let me give you the first area subject, salvation. There's a promise on salvation. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 12, I'm going to just give you a bunch of them, so just kind of work through with me. Salvation, this is what it says. And this is the testimony that God gave us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. That's the promise that he gives us on salvation. Here's another one for you. The promise of forgiveness of sin. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the promise that he gives us on the forgiveness of sin. Here's the promise of us being in a new creation in Christ. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, he says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the promise that's attached to us being a new creation in Christ. Let me give you the promise that demonstrates the Holy Spirit lives within us. It's a promise that the Holy Spirit is within us, lives within us. In Romans chapter 8, verses 10 through 11, this is what it says. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. That's the promise that the Holy Spirit lives within us. Here's a promise of faith. Promise of faith located in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For by grace you have been saved through faith. That's the promise we have for faith. Here's the promise of us being children of God. In John chapter 1, verse 12. In John chapter 1, verse 12. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Let me give you this one. How about answered prayer? Here's a promise of answered prayer found in John 16, verse 24. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name, and you will receive that your joy may be full. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive that your joy may be filled. That's a promise of answered prayer. I got to give you this one, you all. How about victory against temptation? You have a promise for victory against temptation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. I wanted to arm you with some promises that are in God's word that you don't have to research. You don't have to do the historical background on the text. I've done it for you. I'm giving you promises that you can begin to hold on to, log into your arsenal, so that every time the enemy tries to whip you about what you do or do not have, or what you can or cannot be, you can pull out these promises and begin to combat the devil with the word of God. Hey, my brothers and sisters, I need you to help me today to pray for some persons in our congregation. Would you help me pray for Mercedes Barrett? Pray for Jackie Thomas, for Deacon Sharon Durham. Would you help me to pray for Brother Robert Davis, praying for Andre Harris's mom? Would you help me to pray for Brother Gary Davis, for Mary Davis, for Deacon Evelyn Mack, Sister Martina Baxter, Sister Velda Jones? Would you help me pray for her granddaughter Dominique? Praying today for Elois Dix. We're praying for Deacon Ruby. She's had an interruption within her treatments and needs our prayer. And so I need you all to pray for Deacon Ruby. Praying for Sister Martha McCray. We're praying for she and her family. We're praying for Elder Durham. We're praying today for Sister Sharon Durham. We're praying today for Associate Pastor Bessie Hayes. We're praying for Barry Hayes. We're praying for Associate Pastor Talia White, Tamara Harvin. We're praying for her. We're praying for Robert Briggs, and continue prayers for Tracy Berry. We're praying today for Michael Davis, and we're praying today for Pastor George Gilbert. We're praying today for Pastor Stephen Tucker, Reverend Harold Brinkley. Can I ask you all to pray today for Nancy Henderson? We're praying for her who had emergency surgery on yesterday. We're believing God for her healing. We're praying today for Krishan Henderson, that Lord, God will in fact heal her body after giving birth to her child. We're believing God for healing in the name of Jesus. We're praying today for you and for those persons who make up our congregation and for those who are connected to our congregation. I'm praying for those of you on this prayer call line today. For those who are joining us for the first time, honored to have you. We're praying today that God will get glory from your life. Would you all join me? Come on, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we are your children who are coming to you. We're like an empty pitcher coming before a full fountain, asking God for you to fill us. For we know that we are sinners, God, but we're sinners saved by your grace. We've not done everything you've told us to do. We've not dotted all the I's. We've not crossed all the T's. And God, we thank you for your son, Jesus. You thought enough of us to send your only begotten son to die in our place to pay for our sins, to pay for the wrong that we have done, for the mistakes that we have made. You substituted us, placed him in our place to die for us, God. God, we thank you. We didn't deserve it, for the wages of sin is death. We know that we had to pay the price, the wages of sin, but the gift of you, God, is eternal life. And we thank you for your son, Jesus, who died. Thank you for the blood that washes us whiter than snow. And Father, we need you now. Please forgive us. We need you. We need you in our lives, God. We need you in our affairs. We need you with our children. We need you in our school systems. We need you, God, in this world. We need you in our homes, Father God. We need you in our relationships. And so we implore you, God. We pull on you to be a part of that which we have been assigned to. God, we need you to speak, to move, to deliver, to heal. God, we need you to show forth your hand and your power. So, Father, we pray today that you will manifest yourselves not just in our affairs, but in our lives. God, let everything that we do on this day represent you. God, we thank you. We thank you for how you will, in fact, make a way. We thank you for your promises that you've given unto us, God. The promise of salvation, the promise of forgiveness of sin, the promise of us being a new creation in Christ, the promise of your Holy Spirit living inside of us. Thank you for the promise of us being your children, God. Thank you for the promise of answered prayer. We thank you for the promise of giving us victory against temptation. We claim those promises, God. We hold on to them because, God, we know we need them. Thank you for thinking enough of us to love us enough to give us promises from your word. Now, God, we're clear that your promises are about you and not about us. We know that your word says that you are trustworthy in all of the promises and faithful in all that you do. So we pull on you now. We confess these promises and we believe that you will fulfill them in our lives. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, listen, my brothers and sisters, thank you for your time today. I appreciate you as you go now to work or to wherever your activities are for the morning. Go with God. I've given you some principles today. I've armed you with some word that you can begin to fight the enemy with. On your mark, get set. Let's grow. I want you to have a great day on purpose and know that we love you. God bless you all.